Hello, I'm Adam, and welcome to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear tales and stories from the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. This is the whopping fifth season of the podcast, with new guests and brand new stories and conversations with some people that you will definitely know and some people that you'll come to know. I'm thrilled to say that this podcast is proudly sponsored by the wonderful people at Plant Grow, producers of award-winning organic compost, mulch and fertiliser made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And I know because it's all I use on my garden. Don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's easy to do, takes a few minutes of your time, but it helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded planty people. In this week's episode, I'm in conversation with someone who is passionate about bees, so much so that she helped create a kit for us all to use to save bees every day. Faye Whitley is the co-founder of a company called Bee Vive, who you've likely seen on social media, online and in shops all around the UK. The Bee Vive kit, in its essence, is simple, but the story leading up to its creation is one that comes from genuine intrigue in bees and how they all fit into the bigger picture. Listen now to hear more from Faye and all about Bee Vive. Enjoy. So, for anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Faye Whitley and I am the co-founder of Bee Vive. We are a small business based in Exeter, Devon. We design, assemble and ship bee-friendly products around the world.
So this is a broad question, right? And yes. This is probably slightly too broad, but why? what I'm really asking, I suppose, is kind of let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
So you've clearly got a love for bees. We all know that we're meant to look after them, obviously. But why exactly did this kind of really chime with you and how did Bee Vive become a thing?
Yeah, let me get my scroll out.
I can like see you said, pulling out the yeah. scroll.
You'll hear it hit the ground in about 5 minutes. I guess we like you said, we learn a lot at school about, you know, little snippets of how we should protect them or why should we protect them. And I feel like it's on the surface area. And I did grow up, like both me and Jake, my co-founder, grew up spending lots of time outdoors. Our families were really great at encouraging that. Grew up in Devon, it was fantastic. We did camping on the weekends, we're in the sea. And I think you really learn to appreciate nature when you're surrounded by it so often as a young child. So I'd definitely say when we were younger, we had a connection to the environment. I actually went on through my like adult teen years to study fashion. It was another real huge passion of mine. I went to university and in my time there and experience, I visited lots of fashion houses and the environmental impact they was having and the waste really started to hit home. And I think that's when like a few cogs started turning. And in my final year for my dissertation, I titled it Can Fashion Be Sustainable? So I looked at the production of clothing, the people that are involved in that, and essentially going to market and then the consumer behavior. And I just found it absolutely fascinating. So I kind of took that through to a few job roles and built a career in it. But the real moment in which the switch went for Jake and I was we were living in Devon and Jake took me on holiday to Cornwall. We stayed in this cute little shepherd's hut. And on the last day, we went to like a local town. We were just exploring around and we came across this tired bumblebee. And Jake said, oh, we need to find it some flowers. We need to find it some flowers. It's not moving. It was like almost rolled onto its back. So it appeared to be very tired. So we crouched down, rolled up our sleeves and carried her to what would be a small local cafe. And he said, I remember my grandma telling me, like, just a bit of sugar and water will help bring her back to life. So we thought, why not ask the lady? She looked at us like we were crazy, for sugar and water on a teaspoon. Gathered outside, and after about 10 minutes with a little drink and a little warm up and a little bum wiggle, she was off on her way. And honestly, for anyone that's ever helped to be in need, it is the best feeling. And we just, yeah.
Makes you want to do a bum wiggle yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it's like, I always say, like, I swear she came back and said thank you. Like, whether I just imagined that from the sign, but yeah, and we got in the car, and Jake was like, oh, I'm going to look up. There must be something that exists that you could carry it around, like portable. Like, imagine if we weren't near a cafe. And we just couldn't find anything, like, at all. And so that really sparked a year of research, which led us down a dark path of learning how in decline they are and the severities they were facing. And I just felt like, okay, I'd learned in school how important they were, but wow, I had no idea what danger they were in. And there is so much we can do to help. Like, let's raise awareness, and how are we going to do that? And so in the end, we kind of plotted out BeVive, which essentially is Be and Revival, like, squished together. And Jake came up with the concept of the Be Revival Kit. So for those of you who don't know what the Be Revival Kit is, it is a key ring that you carry around with you. Inside is a small bottle of a bee food syrup. It basically is made in a laboratory to mimic nectar. So if you find a tired bee, you're able to identify it, and you can't find any flowers nearby, this is like the next best solution in an emergency. And what we found was, when we were presenting this idea to people, is like, we got the chance to explain why we loved bees, how great they were, what they were doing for the planet, and how we needed to help them. So it was kind of like a double tanger, like, okay, it was a product you could use, but it also was a tool to talk about bees more. So yeah, that's kind of, in a nutshell, how we started. Basically with our own little savings pot. We did it outside of work on weekends and evenings. I use my background in product design, and Jake is an architectural technician. So we kind of brought those together with our love of passion and nature, and encouraging people to be outdoors. And I guess directed that towards the Bee Revival Kit.
I love it. And how long ago was that now?
That was in 2018.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that long ago? Because
I
remember.
That long ago. I remember
seeing
my wrinkles
you.
Tell me that.
Yeah, well, I know you feel. I remember seeing it. Well, I remember following you. It must have been since the start. When did you join Instagram? Would you have joined Instagram about the same time?
Literally the same time. Right, although okay. Obviously, like most things, it takes a little while to get going. And then I guess the pivotal point in which we started growing our community was when we crowdfunded. So we got to the point where, like, we put as much as we could in, did all the testing, the prototyping, the research, and then we needed to launch our business online, because obviously that's where we're going to reach the most people. So we did it through crowdfunder for a very specific reason, is that we wanted to build a community around the product. We didn't just want it to be a product. We wanted to really get people together talking about this discussion, and to, like, empower them, like, go you, great, well done for taking these actions. And it worked perfectly. So people donated in, I think it was like £10, and it was like an all or nothing scenario, and within 24 days we reached our target and launched. And those 164 people that helped us, they got the first ever Bee Revival Kits, and I speak to many of them still, which is just,
that's so nice.
It's fantastic. It's exactly what we wanted to happen. So yeah, it was really good.
It's great that you were able to do that. And I think that is the amazing thing. There's kind of a common thread through most of the conversations that I have on the podcast, and in one way or another, everyone is kind of through Instagram, in reality, I suppose. And there's kind of that community thread that flows through all of these conversations. But that I think that must have been, and you've just said it was really important to you, but that must have kind of been integral, really, to the business kind of starting and being successful. But because of a a conscious effort by you and a conscious kind of effort about the ecology of it, and not just kind of wanting to make a product. You really wanted to do this for the real kind of right reasons, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always say it's not about, you know, a little people doing a lot. It's about a lot of people doing a little. And that's why we did it, because we wanted to encourage everyone to do their slight bit. And this is the way that we felt like we could contribute towards that. And the crowdfunder was great to watch form, because at first we posted, obviously, like my mum, my sister, my auntie, you know, like my dad. We're all, you know, chipping in and giving their £10. But then it really quickly turned. And before I knew it, I didn't know anybody on that list. I know them now, but I didn't. Yeah. And that was really cool to watch. And I guess that's when I was like, okay, this could be something. Because if people were talking about it or believing in our concept and in our idea enough that they're sharing with others, it's going to, you know, it's infectious.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, how BeVive grew online. Like, when you do a great thing and you tagged BeVive or you would tag your friends, that organic growth has just been huge. And I guess that's kind of what we started off with, and that's what we carried on with. And that was one of the main reasons that we introduced the VIB, very important BeViver initiative, which was to reward those who had made such an effort to be part of the community. So yeah, anyone listening to that, we basically have what we call a hexagonal badge of awesomeness. Some people refer to them as like Blue Peter badges that you never got. And if you write into us and you tell us about your bee saving, insect saving efforts, we send them out. You cannot buy them. They are exclusive for people of our community.
Reserved for, it's like a badge of honor, isn't it?
It is, and I think it should be. Like, if we encourage each other and clap each other on for doing great things, no matter how small, and I find this hugely with children, you know, I get their parents writing in all the time on their behalf, and I just think that's great. Like, if you're encouraged from a young age, then you can really achieve, like, great things. So that's why we set that up.
Yeah,
we've tried to continue from the crowdfunder all the way through this idea of giving back, because honestly, without our supporters, we wouldn't be here. And now we're a team of six. So yeah, it definitely
means I remember when you weren't a team of six. I remember the early days of Instagram. And I remember you moving like premises and stuff like that. And I remember kind of following along and seeing that journey. And it's been so amazing to see it grow, and all because of bees. I mean, who'd have thought, though, that there was this kind of amazing like business idea just from bees, and just from that kind of one, I suppose, opportune moment where you stumbled across this bit. There's something about bees, you know, and I spoke to Dave Goulson earlier in the season. So anyone that hasn't listened to that, go back and have a listen. He's the Professor of biology at University of Sussex, and he is just kind of, as you'll know, you know Dave, but he's
mountain
he's
of knowledge,
all things
very
bees.
Inspirational.
But there's something about bees, isn't? I mean, you'll probably know more about this than me, but there is something about bees, and I feel as though every time I go on TikTok, I don't know what this is about, but I must have watched lots of videos of bees, but I get every now and again I'll get a video of someone that has stumbled across a tired bee and has done the either the sugar thing, or I've seen a couple that have got the BeVive kits, which is really nice. But then every now and again you get a bee that kind of latches onto someone, or just climbs up onto their foot or onto their bag or whatever, and they'll just like latch on, and they're clearly like tired and they're just hitching a ride. There's something about bees that they see a comfort in us, and I don't know, there's got to be some science in that somewhere, which is so weird, because intrinsically so many people are terrified of bees, but there's some sort of link, isn't there? There is, I'm sure there is.
I believe so. I need the science to back me up here, but yeah, I think there's vulnerability in the smaller insects such as bees, and their significance is so important, and that they are literally clinging on to us because we hold the key to help them. Like, we have the power to help them thrive and survive and then thrive. Like, we all share this planet, And I know a lot of people talk about, you know, what bees do for us and how they pollinate our plants and our fruits and our veg, which is obviously amazing because, you know, who needs their cup of coffee in the morning? But also, like, just because they do deserve a place here and they're a massive part of the food web and they are clinging onto us and they're so they are really, like, obviously you have honeybees are slightly more aggressive than your bumblebee and certainly your solitary bee species. But yeah, alleviating fears. And this is one thing I get a lot when I go to schools is, but miss, they're going to sting me. And oh, but it will hurt if they sting me. And I like swat it. And a lot of it's like either learnt behaviour, like watching adults do it. Or I guess just their fear automatically if they've learned that they have a stinger. And I try and alleviate that from the children by, you know, explaining that they don't really want to hurt them. And that, you know, if they do,
it's a defense mechanism, isn't it? It's only when they're threatened.
Imagine being that small and having a, you know, a hand waft over you, or, you know, the not, you know, being screamed at, or, you know, and actually, like, it exasperates so much of their energy to do that stinging process that it really is a last resort. And another fun fact that I love to tell everyone is, you know,
I love fun bee facts.
You know, if you're able to identify the difference between a male and a female bee, you'll know that male bees do not have stingers and then therefore aren't able to sting you. So,
well, I didn't know that, Faye.
Oh, you did not? Okay, well, there you go. And then I laugh and then I say to the ladies in the room, you know, we have stingers. The way round.
I love it. And
I think they find that really interesting because automatically it switches their mindset. They start to think, okay, maybe I won't go too close, but I should not be so fearful. And maybe the next time I won't try and swat it.
Is there an easy way to identify between a male and a female bear? I suppose it's different per species, isn't it?
Well, it's different across all the species. And as you know, we have many of them. Yeah. Studying charts, like identification charts, is a great place to go. But I would say with bumblebees, it's the most easiest because a lot of the types of bumblebees, the males have like moustaches.
They have
very white / yellowy tinged facial hair. And it's very recognizable. And if you put one photo next to another, you can tell. And it's
I'm going to look at bees in a totally different light now.
I just love it. The moustache, it's so classy.
Yeah.
It's great. And then for honeybees, we have the honeybee, which is the female, and then the drone, which is the male. And their colouring is very different and their sizing too. So yeah, I guess like going up and doing a bit of research and looking at the pictures and then when you see a bee, I always think what a really great thing to do is to video it so you can slow it down and screenshot.
Mm.
And then it's really great when you're able to be like, oh, you know, hey, check this out. I've just identified a male red-tailed bumblebee like it's a really good feeling. So
I love that. Well, back to the kits and the tired bees. This might seem like a silly question, but when we, you know, we see these kind of tired bees, and sometimes you see them in all sorts of places. Most commonly, you'll see them either just kind of on the ground, exhausted, or you'll see them. I've seen this sometimes where I've been outside in the garden and I've looked at a dahlia or looked at some cosmos or whatever, and there's a bee on it. And I think, oh, that's, you know, that's nice, seeing a bee on it. And then I'll kind of go off and do something, come back, and they're still there. And I think, okay, well, they're not still kind of just doing the kind of the business on the flower. They're literally just having a rest. This may sound like a silly question, but what are they just tired, or is there something else? Like, why are they so exhausted?
There's so many different scenarios in which you can see a bee. We do have, by the way, a very good blog about this, is how can you tell if a bee is tired? Because it's a question that I got a lot in the very beginning. And there are many reasons. They could be down to age. So they genuinely are old and, you know, they're coming to the end of their life. And unfortunately, there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah.
They could be fake resting, you know, like just sitting there, and then you go a bit closer, and then they take off, because bumblebees often take rests on the floor of up to around 40 minutes. Although when we approach them, we don't know how long they've been there for.
No.
And then other scenarios are genuinely they are in need. So most commonly in cities and places that you won't find any shrubbery nearby. And, you know, the idea is this is that bees need to eat frequently. And because we have lost like 97 or whatever the latest statistic is of wildflower meadows in the UK, imagine losing that much food but needing a constant supply during the summer months that are really vital, is that they just don't have enough to eat from. They don't have enough to nest in. And so they just need a little bit of help. And so that's what the key ring or sugar water can offer them. And it is worth, and I say this like to people who are worried, maybe if they are resting, is that sometimes they don't want any. And that's okay. You can offer, it won't do it any harm. And if they don't want any, don't be offended. They're, you know, just chilling, or, you know, they are going to just continue what they're doing. And I would just say, move it really safely with a stick or a leaf, just off the path. Mm. And yeah, I think just taking the action is enough to show the world like what you want to see.
Yeah. 100%.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the thing with the syrup and with the kit, is there I might sound silly, but is there a right way and a wrong way to use it? Obviously, what you're not going to want to do is drain the poor thing in the solution.
God.
But
no.
There must be a kind of a right way and a wrong way, or a better way of doing it.
The best way to use the kit is to tap one or two very small drops next to or beside the bee, not on the bee, and you definitely don't need the whole vial. And that will be enough. It's just like for me and you having a quick boost. But it's not supposed to be a long-term thing. You know, if we drank fizzy drinks all day, it wouldn't be a great diet for us. They need a combination of the carbohydrates, the protein. So it's just a few drops beside the bee, and then just put the cork back on. The reason why we fill the vials with a bee food syrup called Ambrosia is because it is, well, it's mixed in a lab, so it has been tested for energy efficient levels, etc. It's a mixture of different types of sugars to get to that, you know, as close to as nectar. But it also is highly resistant to microbiological spoilage. So unlike sugar and water, if you were to carry it around with you, it will eventually go off.
Right.
This lasts for 12 months from first use. So you open your cork, you pop a few drops, you know, one or two very small, put the top back on and pop it in your, put it back in your keys. We do also have now a BID version of our key ring. So on the key ring, there's a little tag which has a QR code, so that when you're in that moment and the bee's resting and is, you know, having a little sip and it's, you know, getting ready to take off again, you can scan the code and identify the bee that's in front of you. Again, just to promote that further education. And we have a few fun facts about the type of bee and where you might see it, and blogs that relate to that bee. And just again, just to kind of reinforce the learning and the excitement around the species. So yeah, I'd say that is probably, that's how we use it.
Yeah, I like that though, because it's nice to know that it's basically just kind of a couple of drops, because I think I'm guilty in the past of, you know, kind of filling like a whole spoon with a load of sugar and water and kind of not really knowing what I'm doing, to be honest. But I think ultimately that would still help, but, you know, it's kind of almost over the top. And I think the thing is exactly like you said, I love the way you said it, is it's almost like just a quick, I mean, I don't particularly like energy drinks, but it's kind of like that. It's just to give them a boost to be able to get them back on their way, isn't it, really? It's not a permanent solution.
Oh no, not at all, which is why quite soon after we also launched our bamboo edition of our keyring, which comes with the native seed balls, with working with Seed Ball, the company. to encourage the planting. So yes, you can save a bee today, but we hope that this moment sparks something in you like it did for us, and you go and plant for them too. Because essentially, if we had enough wildlife, we wouldn't need the sugar and water, which would be great, you know. Like, that's what we're aiming for, you know. It might take us a while to get there, but this is like the spark we hope for many people, so then they can plant the seed balls as well. As I also must mention, actually, because it's important, you talked about mixing your own solution, is if you are going to do that at home, mixing one part white granulated sugar to one part water is the best. Right. And try to avoid brown sugars, because bees find it hard to digest. And also avoid honey, because we don't know where the honey sources come from. So only beekeepers feed honey back to their bees. Right. We could potentially spread disease, / we don't know what's in the honey. It could have
that's really interesting.
Could have been diluted. So just pure sugar and water to hand is the best. Don't overcomplicate it.
No.
And yeah, avoid brown sugar and honey.
I love it. I love it. I think it's also worth just mentioning while we're talking about the kit and stuff. It's not just the kit that you do. You've got so many other wonderful things as well. You've got bee hotels and all sorts of stuff. This is a horrible question. I'm very sorry to ask you this, but if you had to say what your favourite other thing was that you sell other than the kits, what would it be? What a horrible question.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of horrible. I am really proud of the DIY bee hotel kits.
Mm.
They took us a long time to develop. So we design everything ourselves. We prototype it all in-house. We're really proud of that. All of our products are assembled in-house, including the DIY kits. And we wanted to get it right, so we weren't going to compromise on anything. Most of our products are letterbox friendly, which was kind of prompted by the pandemic, but makes a great gift without having to worry about it being delivered. The wood that we source being FSC certified, the fact that we had it manufactured in the UK, which again was really important for us. I just guess it took us a long time to actually, number one, make the product work.
Yeah.
And also, like, sustainably and ethically build it. So I'd say that. And then seeing it for the first time this year, have its inhabitants by people that had bought it, you know, like buying their kits, assembling it. We have, like, you know, codes to go and see all the videos to learn what to look out for, like what type of bees, what kind of nests they'll make. And then just getting the videos through of people, actually having mason and leaf cutter bees in their bee hotels was just
so amazing, that,
really,
isn't it? I always think that when you buy a bug hotel or a bee hotel, I remember the first one, we've got loads in our garden now, and I make some as well myself. But I remember putting the first one in, and I think a lot of people think this with bee hotels, if we're all honest, is that we kind of buy them because they look nice and we kind of hope that something will use them, but then you never think that they do. But then there's always that magical moment where you've got like a bee hotel with the like bamboo kind of tubes, I suppose, and you see that leaf cutter bee just going in and out, and then you look the next day and you see that it's covered over with the leaves, and you think, oh, actually they are actually using it. It's such a brilliant moment, that, isn't it?
It just never gets old, ever. Like, my garden's full of them, from old prototypes to new ones to ones that we'd bought from other places. I mean,
I bet,
the amount of books that we read and programs that we listened to get to the one, because we wanted it to look good, because I know people like aesthetically nice, pleasing things. Mm. We wanted it to work, and it had to function in a way, like, we know that it had to have the hard back, we know that the tubes had to be replaceable, I guess the graph that we put in made it so worth it when we released something that looked good, worked, and was received well as a gift to inspire people. And we do have, and I love it, I show it at schools, is a time lapse of a mason bee, a red-faced female, going backwards and forwards in our garden, and it is so good watching her, and like watching the cave grow and then sealing it up at the end, and then she looks so proud of herself, if she had an emotion, and then she just goes, and I've never had someone watch it and not be smiling. Like, it's just such a good thing to see, and they're so cool, they're fascinating how they manage to do that. So yeah, I mean, there are many on the market that are not suitable. I'm sure you've read a lot about that. And so yeah, if anyone, you know, wanted to reach out and wanted to be pointed in the right direction of something, whether that be ours, but also, you know, making your own, we have some activities on our blog where you can make your own out of a tin can and some recycled materials. It you know, drill holes. It really doesn't have to be
like a super fancy one. No,
yeah,
it doesn't.
And actually, like the VIBs, the people that we encourage to write into us, you don't have to have one of our products to write to us, by the way. You don't have to own a Bee Hotel or a keyring or a backpack, or we just want to encourage anybody that's doing something positive.
I love that. I really, really love that. But you've said that, and it's fine for me to now say this, but I think you've got so many lovely things on the website as well. And I think this is the, for anyone that hasn't looked at it, it's bvive.com. And the shop is really well thought out. You know, it's not one of these places where you've got tons and tons and tons of things, but you've got lots of little things that are really, really nice, and they all make such good gifts. I was looking at it the other day, and then I was looking at it just before we started recording, and there's so many nice things on there that you could buy as a gift. And it's funny, we were talking about Dave Goulson. Someone else that I really love who's Bee Mad is Jean Vernon. Secret Lives of Bees, the Garden Bees book, which is one of my favorite books that I've read over the last few years or so. But yeah, there's like lovely mugs, and there's like the, I can't remember what it's called now, but we've played it. Is it Mancala?
Mancala, the board game.
The board game. It's got in like bags and all sorts of stuff. So I highly recommend people go and have a look at the shop on there. Full of all sorts of stuff, which I think is, you know, just listening to you and kind of through our conversation, is it's clearly really important to you that you're doing this properly and for all the kind of right reasons. You've not just made a product to sell. Obviously, that's, you know, it's the business, but it's so much more than that to you, which is really, really admirable.
Yeah, it's, everything is intentional. So our product range, like you've said, isn't huge, but I know everything that I sell is of great quality. It has a real good meaning behind it. It's sourced from, you know, really reputable suppliers, and we know the chain. Again, something really important to me, having worked in my fashion design career, and that they always align. Every time I go to choose something, I'm like, right, does this really align with the mission that we have, which is to raise people's awareness in a fun, adventurous and interactive way. Like, we want it to be fun. We want to get people outside, muddy, with their backpack, with their vegan wraps, with their little mug, where they're, you know, outside enjoying, like having a picnic. Seeing things around them, hearing them, and I guess almost maybe like having the childhood that I had when I think about it, like that's what I had that really made me appreciate nature. And so if these products can help other families do the same thing, that's really cool. And I think when we sell a Bee Vive, and I hate to say it now, because if I'd have said it to myself 5 years ago, I'd have been like, "Hey," it kind of was a hobby. Like, I did it because we just really enjoyed it and we wanted to make a difference. I never saw it being a business with six people in, and I hoped it would be, but I definitely didn't see me quitting my job to do it. And that's, I guess, what's nice, because it's always stayed at the core. So every time I make a decision, I ask myself the question again. And I've just met so many cool people on this journey, like yourself years ago, at Genie, who we're just talking about. We were at the, we did, well, Bee Day together at the National Botanical Garden in Wales. I've met Dave Goulson at the Big Buzz Festival in Carlisle. Like, it's just such a good community full of really cool people, and you just learn from each other all the time.
You do. I love it. We could go on and on. I'm feeling a part two to this coming on at some point, but we can't do it now. Well, thank you so much for telling us all about Bee Vive, and anyone that does want to have a look at the website, it's bvive.com, and then the Instagram
at bvive_UK.
There we go, bvive_UK. I'll put all of the details of that in the show notes of the podcast as well, for anyone that just wants to click on it without having to search for it. So it's come to that time in the episode where I've got got three of the single most difficult questions. I'm realizing that I'm saying that in exactly the same way to every guest, saying that these are the most difficult questions that you're ever going to be asked in your life.
You're setting us up.
And they're not. They're really not. They're really not. I always compare myself to Piers Morgan at this point, so I'm going to stop doing that now. But anyway, are you ready, Faye?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Be.
We've not actually talked about your garden, so I'm asking you these, presuming that you've got a wonderful, wonderful garden there. So shoot me down if that's not the case. But question number one, if you think about your garden at home, if you were to start it again from scratch, where would you start and what might you change?
Very interesting. I do have a garden. I actually have a new build. So when I started, or when I moved in, it was a very blank canvas. So I feel like I've almost done this question.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd do anything differently, because I made so many mistakes that were so vital in creating a great garden.
Yeah.
We obviously try and keep it as wild as possible, and everything is planted really specifically for pollinators. I love my composter and my herb patch so much. And maybe would have started with them. Because I don't know. I think the mistakes are valuable. And because we started with that blank canvas, it was quite easy for us, I guess, to create what we wanted from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And as I've spoken about before, Jake did a fantastic 3D sketch-up of it.
It's a great skill for someone to have if you're building a garden.
It is a very good
scratch,
skill.
It
comes in very handy being a technician.
It's a good person to have around.
So yeah, sorry, boring answer, but...
No, nothing. I love it. There's no boring answers. The next question. What is your favourite scent in your garden and why?
Oh, I feel like the automatic one would be to say the lavender, because it's just so overpowering most of the time.
Good for bees as well.
It is good for bees. It is always buzzing, that bush. What else would I say is a great scent? I honestly think some of the herbs just always speak to me, like the rosemary and the thyme. That connection with nature and what you eat. So like, I know it's so easy to go in the supermarket and just see something ready packaged, and to have almost like this disconnect between growing food and eating it.
Yeah.
When you grow it yourself and you smell it and then you cook with it, you just really understand the roots of it and the importance. So maybe I'll go with that.
Good.
It's not a flower.
That's fine. It doesn't need to be a flower. Whatever your favourite scent is. Now, this last question I'm changing ever so slightly for the benefit of your bee background. And normally I ask, why does gardening bring you such joy? And why is it something that everyone should do? But I'm going to change it slightly for you. And I'm going to say, and this is going to be really hard for you to sum up, I'm sure, but why do bees bring you such joy?
Wow, that is a hard one. It really is. Honestly, like, the sound of them and the way they look is just brilliant. They just fascinate me. I love it when their proboscises come out and they take from the flowers. I love the way they like fight each other when they're trying to mate with the female. I love when they build their nests or they wiggle their bums. And then you just hear them. You hear them before you see them. And I just think all those tiny little things joined up together just make them such a joy. And a garden without them is so sad. It really is. All the streets, all the park, or it's just sad not to have, their flying, wiggling bums making lots of sound and wrestling each other over flowers. Like, yeah.
If you'd like to find out more from Faye and BeeVive, then you can follow them on Instagram, where you'll find them as @BeeVive_UK. That's BEEVIVE_UK. You can also visit their website BeeVive.com to buy your very own kit and all those other wonderful things that we talked about in the podcast. Join me again for the final episode of this season, where I'll be in conversation with a very special planty guest. Until then, You can follow me on Instagram at viewfromthepottingbench to see what I'm up to in my garden, visit viewfromthepottingbench.com to read my blog, or you can read my column in Amateur Gardening magazine. See you again next week.